The views and opinions expressed on the following program are not necessarily those of the staff and management of Salem Media of Hawaii.
Welcome to Generations Radio, where the focus is on our seniors and their families. We are here each Saturday afternoon from 5 until 6 p.m., bringing you resourceful information with our radio team of professionals in the field of aging. Stay with us for the next 1 hour as we explore different ways to make life more exciting and meaningful for our extraordinary seniors, right here on AM 690 The Answer. And now, here is our host and the publisher of Generations Magazine, Percy Ihara.
So welcome back to Generations Radio. I am Percy here every Saturday from 5 to 6, Sunday from 3 to 4. And don't forget, go on to our website, generations808.com. And I don't know if you call it a podcast. They're all on our website. Just scroll down, click on the TV radio, scroll down to the shows and all the different topics we've done. Probably, what, Lee, over 100 of these probably by now. At least, yeah, what, 3 years? 4 years? Longer? Wow. Anyway, but thanks for tuning in. And if you're listening to our recording online at a later date, thank you. And please tell your friends and family because, you know, aging is, you know, I was telling Mike Buck this morning, aging, we've never lived this long in the history of the world. So we've never experienced anything like this. There's not a whole lot of classes on this. I don't know if any current college courses are teaching this, you know, let alone a master's program or a master's of public health or, you know, it is something that is, I wouldn't say is new, but it's not being taught as much as I would like to see. You know, I was telling somebody this morning that I've done over 2,000 hours of certification classes. I have a designation for certified senior advisor. That's a great, I first got that designation in 2005. It was not accredited, however. So they got it accredited, and now it's the only certification in aging and financial that's double accredited by the two major agencies in the United States. So I'm very proud of it. It's only 1% of people have that. And that of the 40,000 designations, only 1% is double accredited. Out of 40,000 designations, only 10% are accredited.
Amazing.
Go figure. So designations are great, but you need to be backed up. I also have a certificate in long-term care, which is not accredited, but it's a great course to learn about different levels of care and how to finance care. And that's really, really important. So I'm proud of that. You'll see that in a magazine coming out. And as you guys know, my day job, how I got involved with the business is the reverse mortgage. And for full disclosure, I am with Mutual of Omaha Mortgage. And my license number, I have to always do that, is 582-944, just for anybody who want to check it up. But it's required whenever we talk about reverse mortgages or anything in the mortgage field. So, but I've known this lady for a while. And actually, my wife came home one day and goes, hey, you know, my Calabash cousin, like, you saw it in the magazine, or said, I should be in a magazine. She goes, I'm going to call this lady, Annette Pang, and welcome to the show again, Annette.
Thank you, Percy. It was Auntie Eileen Char.
Was Auntie Eileen?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Because she and your in-laws were very, very good friends.
Yes. We've become pretty close.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
I love what you do. I've been to your workshops, and I'll tell you, you know, the reason why we wanted to do this show specifically is because, you know, I have a lot of clients and family, and I see this on a regular basis, too much more than I would hope and wish to. But so that's why we do this show, to get out the information. And, you know, family conflict when it comes to caring for mom or dad, and you told me, it's typical.
It's typical. No family's any more special than the other, because what really happens is somebody's deteriorating, they're declining. And that's going to happen. It's natural, right? Taxes and aging and ailing and dying. But when you really think about it, it's the emotions. That really gets to us. And I can't tell you how you, me, all the families universally around the world are going through transition. And transition is not like, okay, mom needs a wheelchair. Now she needs somebody to take care of her to go to the bathroom. Now she needs someone to, you know, wipe her down. It's like, who wants to do it? And mom favors somebody more than the other person. And I can't do it because my husband or wife don't want me to do it. I mean, these little emotions get leaked into the whole scenario.
Yeah, so we're here with Annette Pang, our partner in the magazine. She does workshops. She does consultations. And so give us a little bit of your background so people know who you are.
Well, I came about doing this life coaching a little bit by, maybe just by accident, because I'm a trained teacher for X number of years, and I taught in California, Pennsylvania, and Hawaii, taught at Hanaho'oli School. And I'm also a realtor, an active realtor. I was actually the founder of Trinity Properties, which is still going on, and doing a very, very nice business, both in vacation rentals for over 30 days and on, and high-end sales. And then I started a care home with my husband in our own private home, which is like about 130 years old now.
Really?
We got it. The house itself. We gutted the whole thing.
Wow.
And it was like built sturdy as a rock, but it got to be too big. Over 6,000 square feet, almost an acre. And just my husband and me, when we became like empty nesters. What do? We're looking at each other, and then we kind of got lost in the house. But we'd have a lot of parties. We had a lot of parties. We had New Year's Eve parties. We'd have maybe 500 people a year.
Wow.
Because every party was like 50 to 100 to 200. And so one thing led to another, and I was hoping my parents could go there, or my in-laws, but my father-in-law died earlier, and they never did to enter, but we started with a small care home, and from the care home, we added more beds, and now we have two care homes called Living Manoa and Caring Manoa, and it's been there for 20 years.
Wow, it's been that long already,
20
huh?
years, wow, absolutely. And we give excellent care. We treat them like grandma, grandpa, auntie, uncle, and people love it. We don't really advertise, but just by word of mouth, we always have a very nice full capacity. But through the process, I noticed that there was this underlying current of tension that would go on when families would see their loved ones just kind of ailing, and they would have less and less contact with making decisions. But yet decisions had to be made because moms and dads could no longer drive or, you know, figure their bookkeeping or whatever it was. And I, quite by accident, I started coaching people so that they can talk to their brothers and sisters. And so that they could kind of decide on how to have agreement more than disagreement. So that led to me giving some workshops because I really felt strongly that there should be peace at the bedside. Sometimes, Percy, the conflicts lead to really bad fallouts, and they don't want to see each other at the passing.
Yeah, or even for the rest of their lives.
No, they don't.
They don't.
And I was shocked because for me and my in-laws and our family and my own family, like Auntie Eileen, we're like, you know, brother, sister, auntie, uncle. We're like all over each other. When we said goodbye to my Auntie Anna before she took off to her next adventure, we were all around the bed just, you know, singing and rubbing her legs and laughing and giggling and making really a lot of noise at Strop. And the doctor said, don't worry, make as much noise as you want because all these other rooms are like quiet. Families just wouldn't know how to get together, or they had a lot of unresolved conflicts. So I thought, I wanted to take this on, which might have been too much to chew on, but I'm still loving it after doing this for several years. How to help people resolve some conflicts that are like really old, but leak into the decisions when they have to be together to make connections for their moms and dads.
And make decisions for them.
Absolutely. Because mom and dad can't do anything anymore.
Yeah.
They just want to be fed and dry and happy and
watch game
everybody's,
shows.
Yeah, game shows. And one man, especially, I'm going to tell you his name. His name is Mickey. I better not tell his last name, but I think it's okay. He came to us and twice because he moved out to let his wife come into his bed. But anyway, came in and he was like almost dying. He got well. Family rallied around him. He just took his fourth trip to Las Vegas.
Wow.
Yes.
He was in your care home?
He's there now.
He's still there now?
Yes. Oh, wow. He's there now. So in other words, he entered with tube feeding, and now he's off of feeding. And then when they take him to Las Vegas, I say, make sure Mickey's not going to eat all that rich food. They would say, we're going to give him anything he wants.
Well, eating healthy is very important.
Very important.
Client, you know, lived by themselves for many, many years, probably 50 years after the husband died. And I was been trying to advocate for them to go to, for the mother to go to a care home, nursing facility or some kind of facility. She went to an assisted living facility, and she gained, in one year, gained 10 pounds. And, you know, for people that don't
that
know
is
this,
great.
When you're skinny,
it helps them.
You're more susceptible. When you're really undernourished or like I was talking to a client this morning, he's only 89 pounds. You're just more susceptible to diseases.
Absolutely.
And your immune system can't fight it off. Pneumonia is huge.
That's right.
You know, and people don't realize that. So when I see somebody really thin, in fact, I went to Dr. Shintani. I love Dr. Shintani, by the way.
I went to
his 10-day course, and you have about 50 people in a class. And I was in a class. And, you know, we went around, each person, that 50 people, went around and said why they're there. And I was the second to last person to talk, and I was the only one in that class that didn't take medication.
Really?
But I was all, yeah, because they're all looking to stay healthy, right? They all have health issues.
Right.
But I was the heaviest guy in the class.
Oh, my gosh.
So I said, wow, skinny doesn't mean you're healthy.
That's true.
I was really surprised.
Especially
when
you're...
Seriously, I opened my eyes, like,
yeah,
just all the diseases, all these issues these people have, like, that's crazy.
Exactly.
And I couldn't believe it. And I was kind of embarrassed because I was, like, more plump than anybody else in that. And I'm like, wow, I should really be... Why are they here? I should be the one here. But no.
That's what we notice. When people stop eating and they don't, and their muscle mass starts going, there's susceptibility to all the diseases. But first of all, they get dehydrated. And their organs,
that's
their
why
body
I got water. I always got
needs
water.
So much hydration. Yeah. And then there's inflammation that can occur too.
Yeah.
So you really want people to eat. And when we saw that Mickey went to Las Vegas, I just saw him a few minutes ago because we just had a party. He's looking great.
Wow.
So we have people at our care home who are well cared for, and his family rallies around him. But there's some families that are just a little standoffish, and you see maybe one or two members of the family there all the time, but the other ones sort of just stay away. And then I just wonder, you know, there might be regret.
Yeah.
For not really connecting earlier.
That's one of the things, even with raising my son, you know, I tell my wife, you don't want to regret.
Absolutely.
Something happened down the road. So I try to spend as much time as I can with him, try and give him teachings,
Zachary,
and learnings.
Right?
And now, because I've had a lot of, you know, I've been doing this 18 years, going on 18 years pretty soon, and I have several hundred clients, and, you know, you get a percentage of them, you know, their mom will say, yeah, my son moved back home, he got divorced, and I regret not giving him certain things or making him go to college or not helping him out more or, you know, for many different reasons why. But I used to hear so much.
Yeah.
Sadness. I said, I don't want regret.
Yeah.
So say your piece, do what you can. So, yeah, we deal with families all the time, but it's so common that every week I get people say, what do?
That's right.
You know, as a resource magazine that we are at Generations, by the way, you know, we have more resources on our website than almost anybody, from vast, from medical, legal, healthcare, you know, Alzheimer's, you know, caregiving. We, on our website, on the resource page, we have a whole list of different resources in the state of Hawaii that people can take advantage of. So please go there, generations808.com. But, you know, I get calls all the time. Yeah. I forgot. I'll give you an example. I had a client call me the other day. I think she's like 73 now. Has her own townhouse. Many years ago, I told her, this little townhouse with that walkway, it's only one floor up, but it's about a 45-degree angle. Oh, I'm good.
And someday.
So I'm not worried about today. Like your life coaching, and I call it life planning. Down the road, if you don't stay healthy, it can be a little hard. So sure enough, she called me a year ago. I'm having a hard time. I just had knee surgery.
Oh.
She had hip surgery.
Yep.
Shoulder surgery. And now it's difficult. I said, have you been exercising? Have you been going to class? Your Medicare plan might have a, you know, Silver Sneakers or YMCA or 24 Hour Fitness. And so she's checking right now to see that.
Mm-hmm.
Eating healthy. But so, you know, for families, let's say, you know, at some point, I have another client that's, you know, 90 years old, early signs of dementia. And you mentioned something. You know, these families, several kids, but they're not all on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get them on the same page?
That is the question of the century, of many ages. And what I like to do is to say to everyone, put up your hand. And you look at every finger on your hand. And look at your parents as the palm of your hand.
Mm.
Now, does any finger look alike? Every finger has a different height, size, and use. And so if you look at a family as diverse as your own hand and realize that somebody's going to be listening with a different perspective, someone's going to be speaking with a different opinion. You cannot get everybody on the same page. And when you get to the point of everybody being so individualized, then your parents have done a good job because they flew the coop. They're not at home anymore, and they might be at home, but they can produce out there. They can have their own opinions. They can pay their own taxes. They can, you know, raise their own families, take their own jobs. So you want them to be individually autonomous and being diverse. But when your parents start aging and when they start needing you, everybody has to fly back to the nest.
But what do you do when something, oh, no, she's just getting old. Or, no, it only happened one time.
Because you have different people with denial and different people who want to escape. So how do you get everybody on one page, right?
Yeah.
How do you get everyone to dance together?
And I don't expect everybody to be 100% to buy them, because when I do the workshop, we just did a workshop this week at a veteran center.
Mm-hmm.
Fair doesn't mean equal. So I get that.
Right.
You know, we can't spend time. Everybody goes, it's your turn. It doesn't work that way, does it?
It doesn't work that way. However, if you look at your family a little bit objectively and you put them on a chessboard, you know how the knight and the pawn and the king and the queen, they all have different roles. They all move in a different way. Or you consider them like a football team with the X's and O's. There is a way to group everyone so that you find the one factor that they would all be interested in. And that's your mom and dad. That's a mom and dad. Because when they can remember that, and there might be some people who don't like their moms and dads because they never healed some rifts.
Oh, yeah. Favorite son, the favorite daughter.
Exactly. You know? So that's going to be more of a challenge. But then maybe they might take more of a back seat, but they could step up and do something else. So the first thing is not to assume that everybody's going to rally around and be on the same page and think the same way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, fair doesn't mean equal. And there's going to be people that want to give more. And, you know, I tell people, just because you do more doesn't mean your brother who doesn't help out doesn't love them less.
Exactly.
Time, you know, whether they have small kids or they live on the mainland or they have a different, more difficult job, time-consuming job or a job they have to work 8 to 5, it's not flexible. There's so many variables involved, but it's just sometimes so hard where people think, oh, you don't love mom and dad enough, or, you know, they don't care enough, or, you know, you were always like that.
I have one client who won't let his brother and sister take care of his mom, because every time they come over, like when he gets relieved on a Saturday, mom will fall down. And so he made up an assumption saying, I'm not going to let them take care of my mom, our mom, because they're going to hurt her. And I totally understand that, because he might be better than they are, but they can do some other things. So the first thing that we need to do, Percy, in any situation where you have a family of cats and dogs, is what I call them,
mm-hmm.
because they're just like, you know, going in different directions, is to bring them together to rekindle some good feelings of, I don't know how far it's, maybe when you were swinging on mango trees before together, but I don't know how you would do it. But especially seeing moms and dads suffering, there might be more of a tendency to be empathic. But to bring them all together and just kind of have a family powwow and say, I'm not the expert in this, but I really would like some help because I worry. And it's getting to me because sometimes I have nightmares about this. And then ask each person how they might be feeling. And some people will have denial. They'll say, no, mom's fine. The other day she made me stew.
So how do you get that person that's in denial
right
to at some point get them to realize this is serious and we need to, you know, I always go back to the same thing. It's mom and dad needs quality care.
Absolutely.
So how can we get there and how to get that person's denial that, oh, mom just says old age or mom only fell down once.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's the difference in opinion. Sometimes you could show pictures of something that happened, but basically if they're really stubborn and not wanting to open up and be willing to see and at least collaborate and understand, you might say, well, right now you might not think that, but do I have your permission to go ahead and take action with some of the rest of us or maybe some other people in your extended family? Because I see a need for it. And they might, and then you give them a choice instead of saying, well, if you're not going to do it, then we'll do it. All of a sudden, it turns it back into them and saying, can you tell us if it's okay if we did this? Because you might not think of it right now, but we see the need and we might want to do more things, take her out to a movie more often or, you know, go fishing or whatever, do more, have more interaction more often. And that person might never want to. They might even live on the mainland or in Europe or Asia, so they don't want to come back. Yeah. So you kind of have to give everybody the liberty to make those choices and say, I see the need for it, and it's happening. And then you might need to have some evidence, like going through the ADL list that I circulate, you know, those six stages to see people are eating.
ADL, I was with a family just the other week, last week.
Right.
And I said, well, mom's okay. She can do all her ADL. They said, well, ADL is okay. She's incontinent, but she doesn't wear diapers. Oh, it only happened one time. Well, it's going to happen again. That's one.
Okay.
And she can't walk very far without a walker or a cane. That's two.
That's two.
So it only takes two for a long-term care insurance policy to kick in. And for any kind of service, it's just the two.
Absolutely. Even grooming, if she can't bathe herself.
That lady can a little bit.
Go to the toilet?
Yeah, a little bit. But
okay. So
the issue is going to be, I said, you know, family, it's going to get worse.
Exactly. It doesn't reverse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So unless they go to some strength training class and they get better, but typically early signs of dementia, you can slow down to a certain extent, but it's only going to get worse. And mm-hmm. So how do you get that family to understand that action needs to be taken faster than slower?
Mm-hmm.
And then, but this family couldn't even get the first family meeting yet.
Yet. So... Mm-hmm. The synchrony is a really tough thing, but I think you have to look at the ones who are not cooperative, because there's probably an underlying fear. And that's what I really love in my coaching, because that's where the transformation occurs.
You think it's fear, or just like you said, you know, they go back to when they were young and this person was their favorite daughter, or you didn't spend that much time with mom and dad, and so I'm not going to spend time now with them.
It's fear because they weren't loved enough.
I get it. I don't know about it, not loved enough, but you know, back in the day,
everybody,
dad was hard on you, but he still loved you. He loved you enough, but it was just hard.
It was a different kind of quality of attention.
Yeah.
And they just grew up adapting, thinking they're not given enough attention. They're not given all the money. I know one family where one son is less capable than the other son, and he takes hundreds of thousands of dollars. And the other one is like so capable that he doesn't need anything.
Right.
He wants something.
Yeah.
But the parent doesn't want to give it to him. So we're really in a pickle because it gets down to that. It gets down to fearing that they're going to be left out again, that somebody else is going to take their money, that mom and dad are not going to are going to give them the short end of stuff. You know, maybe the house or what the car or whatever it is. The grandchildren didn't get more than the other. I mean, there's all these little stories that go on in their minds, and so you have to work through the coaching where you work with that person to find out exactly what might be ticking in their minds that prevent them from coming around.
I try to recommend people. I was talking to a friend of mine before I came here about sometimes you just have to have an outside third-party coach.
Sometimes, you know? All the time, actually.
Yeah,
because I notice when people have fallouts or they're estranged, it's because they did not get intervention or a mediator or something like that. Because, Percy, you know how humans are, right? You get into this mind thing, which really gets really junk. And it just pulls you down, and then you make up all these stories like so-and-so's this, and now they're polarizing, and then they're not going to be nice to me, and I'm not going to be nice to them, and more stories occur. I mean, look at the royal family.
I know. That's a whole nother story.
Hello? What's good about the royal family is that at least we can see other people's dirty laundry because it happens in every family.
Yeah, it really does. And, that's so common. And so I have to play back that to myself as well when I counsel different families and clients. But anyway, we're here with Annette Pang, one of our great partners in the magazine. And this issue right now, The Gift of Food, she's on page 42, by the way, with her son, Todd Pang. But anyway, we're going to take a short break and we'll be right back.
When you feel like Vegas, there's just one place to stay. Grab a drink at the Holo Holo Bar. There's just one place to play. We got a fresh hot look, a new sports book. We got those local meals, just like Auntie Cook's. Aloha spoken here.
Check out the Cow's new renovated look and see why the Cow is Hawaii's favorite place in Vegas to stay and play.
Hi, I'm Margaret Wong with the Copeland Insurance Group. Let us be your Medicare resource throughout the year. We have agents throughout the islands to be of assistance to you. So if you have Medicare questions, we have the answers. Call us at 808-591-4877. Again, 808-591-4877. Thank you. We look forward to hearing from you.
Have you heard about Phytan, wondering if it works? Try it for yourself. Phytan Free Body Care daily at the Phytan Hawaii Shop, located in the Ohana Hali Marketplace on Ward Avenue. Phytan products are available at these fine retailers throughout the state. Long's Drugs, Marukai, Don Quixote, GNC, Navy Exchange, Runner's Route, Runner's Hawaii, and many other specialty retailers. Life-changing experience, Phytan. For more information, click on PhytanHawaii.com. That's PhytanHawaii.com.
If you're new to Medicare, we can help you work your way through all the questions, the details, and the headaches. Generations TV has gathered experts in the field to help you find the answers. This is Navigating Medicare.
Hi, I'm back again. This is Ed speaking on Medicare Hints.
A lot of people may not realize that they may qualify for extra financial assistance to help pay for their premiums and prescription drug costs, depending on their income and their total assets. These savings can be especially helpful for seniors who are on a fixed income.
Find out if you qualify. Call us.
Helping you work your way through the confusion, Navigating Medicare. Brought to you today by Financial Benefits Insurance, serving the entire state of Hawaii from the corner of Pi'ikoi and Kapi'olani in Honolulu.
Have you been looking for a safe anti-inflammatory for your health and longevity? Introducing Xanthosin, a doctor-recommended astaxanthin supplement that supports your joints, heart, liver, and longevity. Xanthosin is safe, pure, and specially formulated for superior absorption. Xanthosin complies with all FDA regulations for manufacturing and labeling. Xanthosin, the safe anti-inflammatory for health and longevity. Available at a GNC store near you.
Did you know residential care homes offer a family-oriented atmosphere? At Caregivers Heart Hawaii, our kupuna become part of the family. The smaller environment allows for more personal attention. For example, there's no waiting to go to the bathroom compared to other long-term care options. The patient-to-caregiver ratio is smaller and help is faster. Over time, residential care homes are less expensive compared to other long-term care options. Our caregivers are experienced and enjoy what they do, and all homes are ADA approved. Don't feel stressed and overwhelmed or try to do this alone. Aloha, I am Ku'unani Demonte with Caregivers Heart Hawaii. Let us help you with all your care home placement needs. Caregivers Heart Hawaii has knowledge and experience. For a free consultation and to learn more about us, go to caregivershearthawaii.com, where treating kupuna like family is our business.
Got Vegas on your mind? Get Vacations Hawaii on the line. Vacations Hawaii offers weekly 4 and 5 night Honolulu to Vegas packages, which include 3 meals daily from $6.99. Stay at Hawaii's favorite casinos, California, Fremont, Main Street Station, and Orleans Hotel. Vacations Hawaii will get you there in comfort on deluxe wide-body 767 planes with complimentary in-flight hot meal service. Vacations Hawaii's frequent flyer program gives you future travel discounts and credits. So if you're ready to win big, call Vacations Hawaii at 591-4777 or visit VoidVacationsHawaii.com.
Today, more than ever, we local people are living longer than any other state in the union, with more seniors, baby boomers, and caregivers. Generations Radio promotes the importance to be proactive as we all age. The radio team will focus on issues facing our seniors and their families, finding resources to navigate healthy aging along with financial, legal, and caregiving information. So join Percy E. Hauer from 5 until 6 each Saturday, right here on AM 690, The Answer. Focusing on the issues facing our seniors and their families today. Here's our Generations Radio host, Percy Ihara.
Hey, welcome back to Generations Radio, and I appreciate you tuning in. And make sure you send it out to your family, friends, neighbors, coworkers. This is an important topic of aging, family conflict. You know, it's interesting. We I've been involved with advocacy. I'm at the Capitol once a month, every month except for December. And this topic of aging, and we, like I said, we've never lived this long. There's not a whole lot of trainings in this. This specialized training, but not like at the university level where it covers this newer stuff. And just the growing numbers of people that's going to get dementia all summer in this state of Hawaii, over 100,000 next 5 to 10 years. It's a scary thought. And, you know, I talked about it before, but we're only 10 years behind Japan. Japan has like 30,000 people, 30% of people over 60. We have like 22, 23% over 60 and about 26% over, 27% over 50. Imagine how many people in the next 20 years are going to be over 60, 70. Huge. And then what's interesting now, I don't know if I mentioned it before, but there's more people over 60 than under the age of 18 today in the world.
Wow.
Because young people are not having kids as many.
Yeah.
And with the emergence of strong female professionals now that don't get married as early. They're busy with their career. They might have only one child. It's a huge demographic shift. If you're listening, and I don't know if you know who he is, Ken Dykewald, he is our guru of our industry. If you Google him, go on YouTube, you watch his speeches, his presentations. He almost always speaks at the American Society on Aging. It's the biggest conference in our industry in the country. And I've heard him speak, and I actually tried to bring him to Hawaii a couple of years ago. But he said, I'm always busy in September. So I went and go up and talked to him. This guy is amazing in the future, and he has data. And the reason why he's a guru in our industry, he was one of the first to talk about this in the late 70s.
Oh, my gosh.
He started a company called AgeWave, and he's done more research and data study on aging and all aspects of aging since that time. And now he's like, I don't know, maybe late 60s or 70 maybe now. And his son, who's a millennial, actually lives in China now. He's helping them realize that. And actually he speaks, I think, Cantonese, Mandarin, Caucasian family. Yeah. Good-looking kid. But for all things, he went over there and wanted to go his own path away from his father. Maybe that's why. But if you get a chance, Ken Dykewald, D-Y-C-H-T-W-A-L-D, something like that. You see it. But yeah. You know, so I've learned a lot from him, and you said, you're right, it's all over the world. It's all over the world, and we need to get a grip of this, and we need to understand this is not going to stop for the next 20, 30 years, these aging issues. Because our youngest baby boomer is, what, 57 now? 56? It's a scary thought. So let's say they're 86. That's 30 more years.
Absolutely.
And, you know, life expectancy by then will probably be over 90 in the state of Hawaii. Right now, they told me 87.3. Somebody told me that. I think it's a little bit less than that, but I think 5 years from now might be even 90. I just turned 60, and I still feel good.
Still a baby.
Yeah, and I'm still playing a lot of sports, and I'm very active, and I have a young son, of course. But, you know, 60 is a new 40, if not new 30. And we have to understand that. But, you know, this family conflict, the hardest thing is to get the first meeting. It's like you said, discovery, really, right?
It's a discovery session. And if you really think about it and look at the chessboard again, you might work with one or two players on the team. I call it the brother-sister team, dream team, that might be a little closer to your thinking than the other person that might be a little further away. So you try to join them together with you and collaborate and just have coffee and talk about how you're really feeling and ask them how they're feeling. So I do an assessment and I say things like, how are you and your siblings agreeing with each other? Are they defensive? Are they frustrated?
Most family, all of the above.
They're all of the above. What are the feelings about how this is going? Guilt, loneliness, you know, disconnection. And so once it's out in the open, it makes it easier because someone can say,
if they open up, though.
If they open up. But then, Percy, what you would have to do, or what anyone has to do if you're listening out there, is to say, I think I can talk to my sister first, and then join with the sister and strategize. And then you join with another family member and you strategize. And then just say, how do you think we can reach so-and-so, that other brother or sister? Mm. And you might have to reach them through the spouses, through their coworker, through the neighbor, through the daughter.
Yeah.
Not confronting them, but just sort of the back door, because they might not be wanting to collaborate or hold hands with each other.
Now, in your counseling business, and by the way, and that's a life coach in counseling, and so is discovery is really trying to assess what's going on with the family?
Absolutely. You always start with an assessment. First of all, you start with an assessment so that you're all on one page about how your parents might be aging.
But they might not, a lot of times when I counsel families, they don't agree upon that.
Because they
So I usually have to step back and educate them on the basics of dementia, fall prevention, elder abuse, you know, healthy eating, transportation.
And you would be the best person, Percy,
after all these years.
Yes, you do have a lot of resources.
I have a lot of resources. I've been to hundreds and hundreds of counseling sessions with families, and, you know, it just, it. But some people are just, they're so stubborn.
They're stubborn. And I know what I do will work. And sometimes you can't even talk to people, but you might write a letter.
Yeah, you're right.
A little note.
Yeah.
Or instead of just saying kind of a command question, just an invitation question to say, what do you think of this?
Yeah.
I've really been tossing this through my mind. And you don't talk to siblings like that. Siblings no. are usually like, give me that.
Yes. So no, I like that because you're right. I don't do that, but you're absolutely right. How to ask.
Exactly. It's all in the ask. In my coaching, after seeing all these elders for 20 years and their families and really having a very good connection to talking through your Generation Magazine, let's say, seminars.
Well,
there have been 5,000
yeah.
people attending. And my workshops, I mean, I think people like it. I'm
well,
not
yours are
sure.
Great.
But I noticed that there's two things in this aging that everybody's going to encounter the world over. One is money, and the other is miscommunication. The two M's, M&M, money and miscommunication, which means that we all have to raise our level in our communication 101 strategies,
yeah.
which means talking rather than demanding or assuming or pushing or forcing or being bossy or being reticent, because when you're reticent, you might be passive aggressive.
Yeah.
So all these little things have to give rise to the fact that people are aging. I can't see one thing without the other.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to all have to lift up and evolve and transform in that way.
Yeah. It's so funny. You know, you have a baby boomer, let's say, it's my client the other day. Mm-hmm. I said, yeah, she's all feisty and she doesn't want to do this. She doesn't want to do that. I said, hey, when you get her age, you're going to be probably worse than her.
Exactly.
So learn how to deal with it. Seriously, if your mom's stubborn, trust me, you're probably going to be more stubborn.
Real stubborn.
Yeah?
Oh, yes. That's right.
And so I say, who's going to be there for you?
Right.
You know, especially we had a couple at a workshop, a young couple, about 50-something, 55, 52, said, you know, they're dealing with the mom right now. I said, they don't have kids. So I said, you know, you got to look at long-term care insurance because you don't have any kids going to take care of you.
Yeah.
So they retired early to take care of the parents at 55.
Right?
Like, wow.
Wow, that's amazing.
That's early.
Yeah.
You can't even collect Social Security.
Wow.
And they're not working because they got to take care of mom. So it's a full-time job.
And mom's still at home.
Yeah, yeah.
And wow. So they just rotate their whole lives around mom. That's unusual because I know that people, there's two organizations that will take care of people who don't have families. Project Donna.
Well, they don't really take care.
They provide volunteer services. Yeah. And an advocate group. On the Big Island called Friends of the Future.
Oh, I never
Michelle heard of that one. Michelle Medeiros runs that under Tutu's house.
Oh, okay. I know that one.
Right? Dr. Yeah. Bakken's.
I did a story on them a while ago.
Right.
Oh, Hilo's, they're very organized.
That's Waimea. Absolutely. Waimea. And I spoke to them and actually gave them a 4-week course on how to be a healthcare advocate for family as well as clients.
Wow.
And that's where people who don't have family can really have a connection. Just to have a companion, a friend, take them to the grocery shopping, you know, doctors. And because they're people who really want to give. Because you have to remember that this world is like symbiotic, right? If there's somebody who's ailing, there's someone who wants to be helping.
Yeah.
And if you get the match together, that person who's helping, it's just going to be like so uplifted and full of freedom.
You know, I was talking to you. Your facility is more like a skilled nursing. Could you say that?
Not yet. No, we're just.
But you have a lot of clients that have dementia, right?
We do. We have.
So how
clients.
Does the family deal with that in terms of, you know, I know one of my clients last week was talking about, yeah, I think we're going to place mom. So they're looking at a few places, Pohainani, Hawaii Kai, Arcadia, 15 Creek. So how do you? How do you get them for them to say, okay, yeah, mom needs to, probably can't stay home anymore, or dad's having a hard time.
Yeah.
You know, how do you make them understand that?
For parents to understand that?
No, the kids.
Okay.
Well, you mean a
that's what
too.
My subject matter was at your seminar. It was Smart Family ABC. A was for having the right attitude. B was for brainstorming. And C was for command center.
Command center.
In other words, there's a central command center. Instead of everybody having all these little thoughts swirling in the universe, you all come together, which means meeting with each other or texting or going through Voxer or whatever, WhatsApp, WeChat, being able to communicate some of the things. But the first step is to invite them to listen to what you want to say because you're usually rejected by the naysayers. Or the ones who know it all, or the ones who just like, who can tell? I know more about that than you. So once you have that mindset and the right attitude, then you can come together and brainstorm. Because by the time people enter my care home, those families have brainstormed so much. First, to get over their shock, then their anger, then their little infighting, then their agreement, then to register their mom with us. And when they come to us, we have so much gratefulness because of the way that they've all gotten together in some dynamics to make that big decision. It's not easy.
Oh, no, absolutely.
It's not easy.
And, you know, one meeting is not going to solve the problem.
It's not going to solve it.
Can't do that because the first meeting is usually infighting anyway.
But you can have the favorite foods there.
yeah, but it's... You know, like how to deal with elder abuse. You know, it's not going to stop.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, they're going to get scammed going forward. I've had a family that the mother was, my mom was a principal and got scammed. My father, my uncle was a professor, was scammed. This Hawaii elitist family got scammed. You know, like, it happens everywhere. It has nothing to do with education.
No, it has nothing to do with education.
People don't realize, they always say that. It has nothing to do with education.
Absolutely
not. Mostly it's about trust. I said, well, your family, don't you guys, I thought you guys all live together. We do, but when we're gone to work during the daytime, mom's at home by herself and goes to the mill. One client of mine followed the mother to one of those stores to get a
money transfer. Order. Oh, yeah. My gosh. And to transfer
so
money.
Watched the mom transfer the money because right when they gave the form to the clerk, he stopped and said, Mr. Clerk, do you know where this money is going to? He goes, yes. It was a foreign country, obviously. He goes, this is not allowed, is it? Because actually, Walmart or Walgreens or one of those, I believe there's something on the form that says a disclaimer on the back that you're not supposed to be sending it. So they didn't do it.
Oh, good. They stopped her.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I said, how many times did it happen? Oh, she lost about $20,000.
Wow.
Yeah, over 16 trips.
Oh,
16. You think you learn after the first two or three or first time?
And yet they're feeling so empowered, you know, because this is some of their own decision that they're making.
You're so right about that.
And they can't stop because they're helping somebody in some place.
So I think the biggest problem is this is over trust.
It's trust. It is being in contact so that somebody shares a little word about what they're doing to somebody else, and then the word can be passed on to others. So this is a real family soup, I think. And it's coming, Percy. And the more that you, who are so evolved and aware, besides just offering the medical, the financial, the care, you know, nurturing, whatever is the exercise that's needed, you really can see the emotional quotient of how this is really going to take hold and grip a family, because they can have complete fallout. Or yeah, they can be friends.
I've seen so many families with, you're right, at different emotional levels. Sometimes you see, well, he doesn't care anymore. I think he still does.
Absolutely.
Just maybe this time in his life is not ready to do that. Because I tell people, sometimes the one that you don't think that loves dad so much, that's the person that's going to step up. You know? Yeah. And it's something that, you know, we take it day by day, but, you know, a lot of times, once or twice. You said it needs to be continued.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been doing this for a long time. So in the first few years, I couldn't sleep at night either. I would sleep on the couch. But after a while, you know, I would wash my hands. Okay, I'm done. Your turn now. I gave you some resources. I gave you some tips. I gave you people to call.
Uh-huh.
You call me later on, but you know, I'm going to wash my hands. So uh-huh. I don't get too emotionally connected to the family.
Uh-huh.
And it's just something that, you know, as a third party, they need to realize that I can only take you to the water. You got to be able to drink the water.
Absolutely. You know? And one of the real tests about how families are getting together after they have they've figured out what to do with mom and dad, when especially at our care home, when they're already with us and they already have a third party like us taking care, I will say to their children at our parties, where's your next trip? Because now they can live. And they can exercise, and they can travel, and they can fulfill their passion and guilty pleasures or whatever it is. And they don't have the dominant thing in their minds that they're stuck, because they're aging too.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting in their 70s. But mom's about 93, 96, 101. Yeah. And so, you know, there's a point where you have to give, but then you don't just lose the whole thing where you have regret because you didn't do what you wanted to do later on.
I had a guy come to our aging in place workshop. He's in a walker. He's like, I think like 79. He said, what kind of resources are you looking for? And he goes, I'm looking for things for my dad. I'm his only caregiver. This guy's in a walker and he's caring for his dad. And wow. I mean, so I kind of pointed him in the direction of different things. I said, you also, if you go down as a caregiver, the main caregiver, your dad's really going to be in a world of hurt. So you need to look at the resources for not only for your dad, but resources for you, how to navigate this and how to actually try and get better, healthier, you know?
Exactly. So in my seminars at Ala Moana Hotel, where you have it every August.
Oh, by the way, yes. August 22nd, 2020 is our next AGM Place workshop.
Okay, same thing. Cool.
Last year had a football game, the Dallas Cowboys against the Rams. So we had about 20% less population attendees, but this year there's no football game.
Am I going to speak there again?
So yeah, well, we got to work on that.
Yeah.
But yeah, August 22nd, put in your calendar. It'll be in a magazine.
Okay.
And we're doing realities of aging in every issue now.
That's Saturday, right?
Yeah, Saturday, August 22nd at the Ala Motel. But yeah, we're doing workshops every month now. In the magazine, you'll see it. Next one is February 7th. And then for the February-March issue that's coming out very soon, March 27th and April 7th. But I would tell you, just look on our website. Well, it's in a magazine. Otherwise, on our website, generations808.com, you can sign up your email.
Okay.
And we'll push all that stuff out to you. But yeah, so give us your process, how you do a discovery meeting, and then what's next?
So we do a discovery meeting, and we get to see where everybody is on their hand. And they could be really distant. They could be right in there. They could be really trying to dictate all the shots. And we make it well known about how everybody is collaborating or not, and where some of the gaps are. And then we try to see what some of the goals might be. Group goals and individual goals. Someone might say, I don't want to deal with mom because she didn't take care of me and I had to live with dad. And, you know, there's all these brackets. And so there's a lot of hang-ups that you have to get through. But you know what happens? And I notice that when they vocalize that and it's off their chest, it's healed.
A lot of time it is. And also sometimes when the other sibling hears that,
mm-hmm.
they never knew that.
They never knew that.
And because that person never talked about it.
No, they never knew that. And when everybody can say, I was hurting in some way, I felt ignored, I felt passed by, and then they can sort of get together, then you have this group that's not perfect. There's no perfect family. The royal family's not perfect. All the money in the world and jewels. Nobody's perfect. So right. If people can understand that we have to put the fun back in dysfunctional, that we really have to work on how we can lift up together, get rid of some of the old childhood, you know, wounded child feelings.
It's hard, though.
It's hard, but it's really possible.
Yeah.
If it's really deep, Percy, they can get professional help. But if it's something where they tell the family and the family understands, that means the world to them.
Yeah.
It can really be healed. And then they could say, well, you know, mom probably did the best she could at that time. She didn't know. I just took a class at Kapi'olani Hospital yesterday for grandparents. Do you know what the verdict was? The verdict is, there are so many changes. You're not supposed to use powder anymore. You're not supposed to put the baby on the back.
Right.
You're not supposed to. Right. I mean, it's like I am an alien to parenting and grandparenting. I don't even know now because there's so much research that's so changed.
Yeah.
But they always say, go back to the mother and father, your daughter or daughter-in-law and son-in-law, and ask them what they prefer and how they want to be diapered, burped, changed, fed. Huh. But you have a parent to go back to. In a case when there's an elderly person and you can't rely on your parent anymore, you have to do it by committee.
Wow. Good information, Annette. Now, what's the best way for them to reach you, or is there a website they can go to?
Yes, they can go to AnnettePang.com. And if they want to call me, they can dial me at 566-56-5609, because then my hotline will cue me in, and then I can have maybe a one-to-one talk with them just for a discovery session.
That's really what
it is. To see what they're going through.
Yeah.
And it's free. Yeah. It's complimentary because it might not be a fit, but I can refer people to you, for instance.
Well, yeah.
Or Pamela Ani. And I hope, Pamela, you're hearing me because I miss you.
Yeah.
But people who can also offer amazing help.
Yeah.
Because we all have strengths.
That's what we do.
And if you remember out there that your brother or sister has strengths.
Yep. It is so true. So
just have to
ignore anyway,
them.
Appreciate you. Appreciate your time. And don't forget, generations808.com has all our resources there and all our past magazine issues. Real quickly, February, March issues coming out in a couple weeks. And it's going to feature medical aid in dying and the word peace on the top regarding our care, our choice, the medical aid in dying law. And we're going to talk about how to do that, how to talk about it. What's that all about? So it's going to be a really good issue. It's kind of an emotional issue, though. But so anyway, thank you, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. As always, aloha and live well.
The preceding program was sponsored by Generations Magazine.